Iron Mountain boy if there ever was one. Steve Mariucci, 95.7 The Game NFL Insider, former 49er head coach, now with the NFL Network, good enough to join us here on the Dialpad guest line. Steve also appears courtesy of Gelati Construction, celebrating over 100 years of teamwork, solutions, and excellence. And teamwork, solutions, and excellence. Coach, they've got the 49ers off to a 7-0 start. This defense is for real. How are you today?
Man, you just said a mouthful. Yeah, I don't know if any of us saw this coming. We thought they'd be an improved team if everybody was healthy. They've got some terrific additions to that team, not only in the draft but in free agency. But it's so dominating. It's fun to watch, and I don't know what's more impressive. That offense, the way they run the football against anybody and anything and loaded up boxes, or that defense with the with that great defensive line, and it's very dominating. And right now they're on a roll, and I don't see them slowing down.
Is the lesson here that since they are so much better and they haven't been healthy, that everybody in football doesn't know anything at all in August?
Yeah, August. You know, the training camp is it's going to be interesting to see what we do with training camps and preseason when this new collective bargaining agreement comes out, because teams are not using their starters very much anymore. And so you don't really know what you have until you start playing games. Some guys are under practice. But if you can survive training camp and you can get to the season healthy, then you got a chance for your guys to show what they can do. And so some teams are hitting, you know, their stride more in October and November, because September is kind of a slow month for some teams. But the Niners came out of the box fast. I have fun watching this. And John Lynch has done such a good job putting this roster together. You know, they're deep at positions, very deep. You know, we all talk about those running backs by committee. Well, how about the pass rushers by committee? And it's just that offensive line with depth now that, you know, Joe Staley hasn't been playing, or McGlinchey. It's got some depth and very good backups. And so this team is built to stay.
So this is a bit of a weird one, but the run game commitment's been there all year. The production was down for a couple weeks after Kyle Juszczyk got injured, and then this past week, obviously, we saw them go nuts against a pretty good Panthers defense. To me, the obvious addition is Emmanuel Sanders, and I guess my question is, do you see the addition of a higher-level wide receiver as having opened things up a little bit to allow for the run game to be, once again, incredibly productive?
Well, Emmanuel Sanders, what is he, 32 years old and a good guy. He's going to be in television when he's done playing football, because we've had him on several times. He's terrific. You know, he had four catches, 25 yards and a touchdown. They got him involved early. It was a good transition from the Denver Broncos scheme to the Niners, because it was a very similar offense, okay? So that allowed him to be incorporated into the scheme quickly. You know, is he one of the top receivers in the league? You know, he's probably not in that top 10 or 15 bunch, but he's very experienced. He's a good route runner. He can play inside or outside. He can do it all. He certainly helped the receiving corps. I don't think they're going to change their philosophy, though, guys. I think they're going to be a run-first team. And, you know, with the play-action pass and the movement and the keeps with Jimmy Garoppolo, I think that's where they're going to get most of their passing game from. And of course, George Kittle is as good as they get. But Emmanuel Sanders is going to be fun to watch. He gives them a veteran kind of leadership in that meeting room, and he's been through it all, you know. I think when it comes down to getting close to playoffs, he's really going to be beneficial.
Mooch, knowing what we know of the Bosa boys and the accolades they received as brothers today, if Mr. and Mrs. Bosa decided to conceive another child tonight, would you already have it pegged to be the number one pick of the 2040 NFL draft?
That's good. You know, and the dad played too, right? It's just, I don't know what they're eating. They went down, and they went to high school at St. Thomas Aquinas. You know who went to school there? Michael Irvin. So I hear about this stuff, these guys, all the time. St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic School over there in Florida. But, yeah, and their statistics this year are so close. They both have 7 sacks, and they both have 13 quarterback hits, and they both have double-digit tackles for losses. It's crazy. And, the Niners knew darn well what they were getting when they drafted Joey Bosa. They were sweating it out, thinking that he would go first because he's certainly worthy of being the first pick in the draft. Is he the best player in that draft? Maybe so. But, boy, oh, boy, are they getting their money's worth out of that kid. That interception was terrific last week, and then he looked like a darn running back with the ball, and he's just a fire plug. I love watching him play.
I don't know who throws the better stiff arm, the tight end or the defensive end on this team. It's really something else. We get the rare matchup of the number one pick in the draft being chased by the number two pick in the draft. What can you tell us about Kyler Murray's rookie year that we don't know?
You know what? I got to know Kyler Murray a long time ago when he was in high school. He was an Under Armour All-American, and he was on my team. So that even before he went to college at Texas A&M, before he transferred, I knew the kid, and he was two-sport guy, you know, baseball, football, just can do anything. Can probably bowl a 300 game. The guy's just great athletic confidence. He's been sacked a lot. You wonder, how does a mobile guy get sacked a lot? Well, it happens. Deshaun Watson was sacked the most last year because these athletic quarterbacks are always trying to extend the play. And they think they can always get out of trouble and they get out of the pocket, and they kind of miscalculate how fast the defensive lineman can be. And so I got a feeling, guys. I got a feeling. Can I make a bold prediction? I think Kyler Murray's going to get sacked a lot, maybe eight times or so. They just haven't been able to protect him as well as they'd like to. He's a dynamic player. They throw the ball a lot. Cliff Kingsbury's college-type offense has been, productive. You're going to enjoy watching Larry Fitzgerald, one of the greats. He will be a Hall of Famer. If you got a short week, travel on a short week, that's always hard to do. And then the weird thing is the scheduling quirk. You got Arizona, twice now in the course of 2 weeks. You got Arizona and Seattle and Arizona again. And so I don't know if David Johnson's going to play. He's a heck of a back. Chase Edmonds is out. They're a little banged up.
Given that scheduling quirk and the short week this week, would you expect both coaches to offer up relatively bland game plans on both sides of the ball? A, because you don't have enough time to put in all the packages you want, and B, because you don't want to show them off to the same team. You don't want to show your A game in the first game and not have much new left for the second one.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I don't know. I think your point about a short week and you keep it, what most teams do on a Thursday game, and Thursdays are here to stay. It's these games, we've made it more doable, because we like to play as many division opponents as possible, so you're familiar with the personnel. You're hopefully in the same time zone or just 1 hour difference. It's not a big travel kind of thing, and that kind of thing. So I think you just kind of you narrow it down, you pare it down, because you can't practice everything. So you have in your game plan what you've had in your game plan before, maybe not used it. Maybe they're not prepared for it, but you've been practicing it. But I don't think they care about that game two weeks from now. I think they're going to pull out all the stops, win this game, and then be creative for that game later on. I don't think they're going to worry much about that game now. I think they can find a way to go win this game and get 8-0.
So there's two undefeated teams in the NFL. Speaking of 8-0, and rather than ask you who you think would win if they played, because most people are going to pick the Patriots to be safe, what would you have to see to flip that, to pick the Niners to beat the Patriots if they played in a week?
Yeah. Well, what I would have to see is if Tom Brady is vulnerable in the pocket. One of the strengths, obviously, with the 49ers is attacking quarterbacks and pressuring quarterbacks and sacking quarterbacks. The Patriots throw the ball so quickly. Tom Brady's not a mobile guy. He's not like Kyler Murray or even Jimmy Garoppolo. He's not that kind of a quarterback. He gets the ball and he gets it out of his hand, so it's hard to sack him. Now, if they prove to be vulnerable in protecting Tom Brady, and they prove to be vulnerable in man coverage where he has to hold the ball a little bit, then I can say the 49ers have a great chance against them. But we're putting the cart before the horse here, guys. There's a lot of football. They're built a lot alike. Great defenses. They both have great defenses. And they both run the football very creatively. What I mean by that is most teams in the league now are really vanilla with their run games. Half the teams don't even have a fullback. They don't even have a fullback on the roster. They'll use a tight end back there. And they run inside zone and stretch play and a little bit of power and then a little bit of draw play. But the Niners and the Patriots have such a diverse run game, you have to prepare for powers and traps and whams and misdirections and counters and keeps and jet sweeps. And you name it, they throw the kitchen sink at you with different personnel groups and different formations, that the run game is so imaginative with Kyle Shanahan. It's very impressive. You know what? Patriots are just like that.
Steve, in about an hour from now, we're having Tom Izzo on. Michigan State's going to be retiring.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Yeah, just another Iron Mountain boy. When's the last time the two of you really got rip-roaring, like college boy drunk?
Listen, Izzo doesn't even drink, okay? I'm just going to tell you that right now. Izzo doesn't drink, and I don't drink anymore. I don't drink any less either. No, I'll have a glass of wine. I have a glass of wine at dinner twice a week. That's about it.
All right, so if I had to turn to one of you guys to make a better restaurant reservation, who knows more what they're talking about?
Me. Izzo just, you know, he doesn't even email. I mean, the guy is just, you know, he's so old school. He is so old school. Did you guys see the exhibition game they played the other night? And his son, Steven, played in the game. Played in the last 35 seconds. They hit a free throw. The place went bonkers. And so I'm his godfather. And, you know, Tom was all choked up. I mean, he was getting all teary-eyed and everything. Here's his son as a freshman. And he said to him, he said, if you get good grades in high school and work your butt off and stay with it and prove to me that you deserve to be a walk-on on this team, I'll let you do it. But you got to do the same thing here. You got to keep your grades up and be a good teammate and work like crazy every day. And Steven says, absolutely, that's what I want to do. And so it's kind of fun to watch. I hope he gets to play once in a while. At the end of the game, I think he will. They have such a good team.
Hey,
they really have a good team.
Being a human victory cigar for your dad on the number one ranked team in the country isn't a bad job, right?
Okay, Red Harbeck. All right, yeah, it's kind of fun. I can't wait to see these guys. They play early against the biggies, you know. He never shies away from a tough schedule. You know, they've got, the Dukes and the Kentuckys and the Kansases and those kind of programs. He likes to play them.
Oh, yeah. They got
He wants to be battle-tested early, you know.
They got Kentucky on Tuesday. They're going to retire Draymond's jersey against Duke.
Yeah.
So there's no shying anything away.
Hey.
You're never shy either.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
Can I tell you a story about Draymond Day-Day? All right? So I go to all his Final Fours and, you know, we had a deal. I said, I'll take you to my Super Bowls and you take me to your Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
He said, okay. So he's taking me to 8 and I still owe him. Okay, well, anyway. many years ago, I'm sitting, they lost in the Final Four to Duke. I think it was Duke that year. And Magic Johnson was in the locker room and I was there, the president and the AD and the team. That's it. And, you know, Magic said a few words to the team. Hey, keep your heads up. You guys had a great year, blah, blah, blah. Well, all of a sudden, this kid in the back of the room stands up. And he says, listen to me. You seniors, I'm sorry we didn't win a championship for you guys. We were close. You were awesome leaders. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. We're going to get one for you. And we're going to start working. Everybody in here that's not a senior, we're going to start working tomorrow for next year's season. Because we owe it to these guys that have been here paving the way. And you know who that kid was? It was a freshman from Saginaw named Draymond Green. And that's the first time I was ever exposed to his emotional energy and commitment to his team. And, you know, that guy, he's a firecracker, man. And he plays hard. He plays with emotion. And I love him.
Sometimes you can judge a book by its cover. Steve,
yeah.
Thank you so much. What a great story. Really appreciate your time today. Take care.
Okay, guys. Talk to you next time. Thank you.